Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
All right, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory, on this day, August 17, 2025. And it's less warmer than it was yesterday. It's a comfortable warmness today in the 613. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. You don't be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. You don't be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. I'm trying to make a song out of it. All right, before we continue, I want to send a shout out to all you listeners. And we're going to do something. We do something differently on this podcast. And before we start, I'd like to ask you, special audience, special listeners, to applaud yourselves. Yeah, because if you're my target audience, then applauding yourself is probably the kindest thing you've done for yourself in a while. Or maybe not. But maybe you've unlearned that habit of not being grateful to your own self. Or not being kind to your own self. All right. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something on this episode that allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. Reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. In today's episode, titled 292, damn, 8 episodes away from 300, but 292, not sure, titles to be determined, but today I'm going to talk about, today's feature thought, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to do a deep dive on one song, on a song by Kendrick Lamar that I've had on repeat. Yeah, that's it, that's pretty much it. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotes and some randomness. Alright, first quote goes, the only person coming to save you is the version of yourself that's tired of your current situation. Let it marinate. Second one. Antisocial behavior is a trait of intelligence in a world full of conformists. Shout out to Nikola Tesla. Third one goes, stay away from negative people. They have problems for every solution. Albert Einstein. And that's an amen to that. And the last one goes, anything that is not growing is dead. No, I thought it said old, but yes. Anything that is not growing is dead. Here's hoping. Look, there's so much I could say about it, but you know what? I'm going to jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. First randomness. Alright, this is what I just added to randomness, so all I'm going to say is I'm still going through the book by the autobiography of Sammy Davis Jr., titled Yes, I Can, and all I'm going to say, enjoying the read, but all I'm going to add is there's no way Frank Sinatra was a cool ass, what was that cool. Nah, it was just I'm not gonna use the word ally, but I'm just gonna leave it at I'm very impressed by Frank Sinatra's character especially the way, well, or the nice things that Sammy Davis Jr. has to say about him. And I'm going to have to read his book. Yeah, that's it. I'm so impressed that I made it a randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Do you guys think Trump, because I heard he fucked up, like he went to Russia, and word is that one of his staffers left some important document by the hotel photocopy, I guess with all the details to his plan with Putin. I don't know, but it's shit that shouldn't have happened. And sometimes I wonder, do you think Trump ever has days where he yells at his staff, we look like fucking idiots out there.
So you're a philosopher?
Yeah, I don't do impressions. I could have tried doing an impression of, whatever. All right. Okay. Like I said, the first two randomness were just ad lib, but this was supposed to be the first one. And it's based on the quote, your worth is who you are, not what you have. And shout out to Talal Macy for sharing that. And the reason why this one is on my radar, or this one is part of randomness, is because there's a lot that I have to say. And it's more the fact that I, this could have been a comment section, but I meant to reply to Talam and say that I still remember the first time I heard you say in a poem, a man is judged by what's in his soul and not what's in his pocket, or what's in his heart or what's in his pocket. And, you know, another one of those money doesn't make the man, or, you know what I mean, like material shit and doesn't determine your self-worth. And like I said, I still remember the first time hearing it because I remember being like, bullshit at the time. And again, I was young. I was young, unenlightened when I heard it the first time. And I struggled with that verse because back then it felt like one of those I get high on life type of piece or shit like... money doesn't bring you happiness. And it's like, well, I'd like to find out. I'd like to have the experience and then being like, wow, yeah, this money ain't it, kids. Anyway, but I remember at the time objecting to that line. It didn't make sense to me. And fast forward to today, I could say I get it. And I realized the disconnect, the difference between who I am now and who I am back then. And back then, I was like, yeah, you can't get no bitches with a good heart. Back then, yeah, that was my thinking. Again, not the most enlightened human being at the time. And what I realized is how back then my self-worth was tied into other people's opinion of me. So when I would hear sayings like I said, like the one I just read, it goes, your worth is who you are and not what you have. I thought you show up in life, you accumulate a shitload of stuff that you could impress other people with, so they could be like, yes, he's a winner. He's a good guy. He's got it going on for himself. But at the time I didn't know shit about self-love, character. I did, but it wasn't like, you know, I think it was just because I was looking at those rap videos, and they would show you the rapper surrounded with girls and a bunch of expensive cars, drinks, and basically selling you on the image that I got it made. And here I was, over there with my minimum wage job, struggling. No, it's not the minimum wage job. It's showing up to the clubs and surrounded by ballers. So I'm like thinking, yeah, I feel less than. Anyways, when I wrote this section of randomness, the question I asked myself is, how would I explain this to my younger self? And I guess it's, I would have to sell him on, or not sell him, but I'd have to explain to him the concept of self-worth. Yeah, I'm trying to imagine, I mean, I can't answer this hypothetical questions, but I'm trying to imagine me understanding self-worth at that age.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. I feel the need to. Have you guys seen, have y'all seen War of the Worlds? Excuse me. War of the Worlds, the 2025 edition. The one with Ice Cube. The one on Prime. Amazon Prime. Yeah. Did someone talk you out of going to see it? Look, man, I'm going to say that I think I feel like if I was... Okay, look, it's a bad movie. But I want to be the one guy who says, it's not that bad. Okay, focus me. It's... Look, the way I titled this is Say Something Nice About War of the Worlds. Look, man, all right, I want to be that guy. At the risk of sounding like a contrarian, I'm going to say, yes, it is bad. No, I would not, no fucking way I would see that movie in the theaters. But I am going to say the movie is fun to watch when you're high and on your phone and willing to watch the movie in shifts. Yeah. So I saw it on a Saturday night. I was high and I was like, I was into the movie. I was like, wow, this is a well, turns out it's not an original concept, but don't get me, it was stupid, but I mean, it's not an original concept, the whole, oh, I'm going to, the main characters behind a computer. but I thought it was kind of interesting. You got to understand, I grew up on movies like I Got the Hookup, a State Property, like those movies, well, back in my days, you know, that you could buy at a gas station for the gas station bid. You know what I mean? It's like movies that I'm used to bad movies. Watched it because my favorite rapper's in there. My favorite rapper made it. Or movies, or even the Bible. Getting stories from the Bible. I think my growing up, hearing stories from the Bible, I'm used to shut the fuck up. The writers want you to believe, yes, the writer just describes something that's really impossible, but shut the fuck up. Believe it. Anyway, all this to say that, yes, shout out to all my weed heads. I recommend watching that movie while you're high and get into it. Sure, you're going to need to take a break. Yo, shout out if you managed to stay awake. No, I stayed awake. But look, okay. All I'm going to say is, it wasn't that bad. Granted, I was not sober when I was watching it. Oh, I was sober the day after when I watched the rest of the movie. Hey, look, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Would I put money on it? Nah, it's not that. You know, okay, I think I'm going to say something nice. I'm enjoying the world coming to the internet coming together to bash the movie. Yeah, I will say, man, fuck Amazon and your product placement, but that's a different story. But yeah, no, I mean, give it a try. In the show notes, I got two links of worth checking out. One is the first one is hold on a second. The Academy Award goes for Best Actor in a Motion Picture, and it's what's her name? Shay Lissette. Am I reading that right? Shay Lissette, and she does it's kind of, she does an impression of Ice Cube in the movie. the one skit she didn't do is get out of there. Anyways, she does a good imitation of Ice Cube. The second one is a popular series on YouTube, and it's called The Pitch Meeting. And look, I'm really enjoying the world coming together to bash this movie. So you got to watch it for yourself. I think you're not allowed to say it's a bad movie unless you watch it, all right? Okay, all right, yeah.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, okay, second to last one. All right, I'm going to start by playing this clip, but it's a conversation about Well, here's the title. Let's go. Being pro-black has nothing to do with the race of your partner.
It's always a pro-black bitch that's fucking a white man. Like, what are you doing?
Hi. So I've seen a lot of videos from black creators basically condemning or judging or criticizing the idea of an interracial relationship. And I kind of just wanted to respond to a few of their claims. So firstly, I just want to say I like that you would like to be pro-black and are trying to be pro-black. I appreciate that. And I think that your heart is in the right place. But I do just want to make sure that you know that this is a pretty common sentiment echoed in white supremacist communities. Anti-interracial marriage and anti-miscegenation laws have historically been a major talking point for white supremacists because it's a type of integration that makes it so much harder to oppress black people alone. Unless you're just evil, the basic interests of your life partner and your children are going to become your basic interests as well. So naturally, if white people are married to black people, it would really make it a lot harder for them to be rooting against black people's interests. Objectively, you just know something is a bad take if you're agreeing with white supremacists, especially if you claim to be pro-black. Those two things are genuinely mutually exclusive. It's kind of giving Abradolf Linkler, and it's not a good look. Also, we experience enough racism just from white people, okay? You should see my DMs, girl. They're rotted. Why add to that? How is it black empowerment to belittle your sisters and your allies for doing something as simple as choosing to love someone of a different race? But since this one wanted to psychoanalyze people's choices, when I see someone belittling someone's relationship over identity politics, I logically think one of two things. Either you are lonely and insecure, or you are in a relationship and insecure. Because no one who is happy with themselves and their love life goes out of their way to tear down other people's. We don't have time. We're hanging out with our partners who we love. So let's just not do that Republican thing where we meddle in strangers' relationships and tell them who and how and why they should love other people, okay? It's annoying when they do it because it's not their business and it's not yours either. Please, black people, stop making these anti-interracial videos. It's bad enough that we already have to deal with so much racism from white people. Don't add to that by echoing a white supremacist rhetoric. It's just not a good look, Pookie. Stop it. Love you guys. See you later. Bye.
Sorry, the name of the content creator is, her name is Hair Soup. I feel like I've seen her before on other, but that's not the point. All right, I'm sharing this because I used to be on the fence on that one. I used to, want to be clear, you know, and again, less enlightened about the world. Yeah, this was a phase of my life where I was convinced I was least enlightened in the world. And yes, I was convinced that I knew everything I needed to know about the world. Yeah, part of being the youths, right? And I agree with her. Let me just start off the bat. I agree with her. I like her take on it. For me, I'm going to just make it personal for me. It's so starting out when I don't want to use the word dip my toe in, but when I went from my phase of black enlightenment and then I chose the path of being pro-black, I was surrounded by a whole bunch of hotep folks. And you know, no, I'm not going to blame them for it, but the notion was, if you're pro-black, you only date black women. And so the men were like that. And this is interesting. Yeah, the men were like that. And the women too. Actually, some of these women or some of these people weren't pro-black. And they were jumping into, well, how can you be pro-black and dating a white chick? It makes no sense. And I remember at the time, I didn't know much about the world. At the time, I took their belief as my belief. I remember adopting that belief as a way to, well, I don't want to piss anyone off, so I'm going to stick to that one. So yes, I will stick to that belief. And it was more me just not, it was less my, what I'm trying to remember is whether it made sense at the time. But I do remember it was, well, the people around me see it that way, so I got to see it that way. I guess maybe at the core, I felt like something was, I don't know. I don't know if I had any opinions on it aside from everyone else's, the opinions of everyone else. Then I grew up, and no, I'm not going to give you the speech of, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. No, fuck of that. If you're going to get in an interracial relationship, you need to be fucking serious about that shit, and you need to know the what you're getting yourself into. If you're like, if you're pro-black and conscious about how the world works, then you know it's, there's extra scrutiny on you. Like, don't lie to yourself. Don't, as a black man, don't date a white woman because you're hoping she will validate you as a human being. And this is where growth, becoming an adult, kicks in here, right? Is I started to realize what it takes to be in a relationship or to find someone that you can be partners with, romantic partners with. Once I started to understand shit like love and compatibility, that's when I was like, yeah, if you manage to find another human being that brings the best out of you, if your fucking happiness, then go for it. Your happiness, fuck the rest, go for your own happiness. Go for your happiness. Just don't be in denial of the, you know what? I'm just going to leave it as embracing each other's humanity. Like, it'd be wild. Like, I remember the Laverne Cox. And she was dating some white, I'm assuming it's a white boy, but I'm told he was a MAGA supporter. Now, first I should say that, you know, their relationship is their business, not mine. But the buck comes in is, this is the part where I would say, like, come on, girl, you could do better than that. Or not just that, but I'd be like, that motherfucker does not fully see your humanity. But that's none of my business. None of my business. So I'm thinking about how she was speaking more to women, black women. And I guess she's catching hate from them about dating white people. Look, I think the key point that I like is if you are in one of those, in a good relationship, it's like, shut the fuck up. You don't get into other people's business about who they should or should not be, or what consenting adult they shouldn't be. Whatever, should or should not be. Last point I'm going to make is, like I said, I started off on being on the fence and just being a sponge, being a chameleon and taking on the opinions of other people. Then growing up and realizing how love works, how being a relationship. Look, in my mind, finding someone you're compatible with is like winning a lottery. It's like a winning lottery ticket because but the last point I'm going to make is, and I want to make a bit about this, is black people, we will never, ever, 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 ever love ourselves like the same way the white man loves himself. And we shouldn't aspire to. And when I say that, I'm saying, look, man, pre-1492, pre-white supremacy, The concept of race never really was never a thing. Look, man, Africa is a big motherfucking continent. A big ass continent. The white man did us no favor by lumping us all into one category. Look, there's mad diversity on that continent. And I don't just mean like religion, sexual orientation or sexual, I mean like tribes, it's vast. I've never been to Africa, but I know it's diverse. And we weren't separated because of, hey, we're all black. Now, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about during my pro-black phase. I had a friend, he was from Nigeria, and he thought this shit was funny. He laughed at me, man. He laughed at my ambition. It's like, yo, we need to be united. Black people, we need to stick together. And we all need to go back to Africa. And he was like, yo. Things are not the same over there. I mean, sure, no, they've dealt with racism, but it was clear that the experience he had over there growing up was way different than the experience that I was familiar with. So this whole, all right, we're all Africans. I was like, yeah, it's not gonna, some of those people aren't gonna see it that way. Oh my God. My point, getting back to my original point, is we should not love ourselves. Okay, love is probably the wrong word, but what I was trying to say is the whole uniting under one race has only worked out for white people. Has only unite under one race and oppress everyone else has only worked out for them. And it's not something we should be aspiring to. Anyways, oh my God, I just realized that I'm preaching right now. But I'm trying to make a point of, I think it's what's important for me is, like I said, I started out on the fence and today I'm like, nah, fuck that. That's my thought. And if you're one of those black people in that category being like, nah, that's some bullshit, then I mean, we go our separate ways. Talking to you, Dr. Umar. I'm laughing because my cousin, he was joking with me. I guess we haven't caught up. He's in Toronto. I'm over here. And he sends me a picture of Dr. Umar. And he says that, I bet you're a big fan of this guy. Because, again, he remembers me from my pro-black slash Hotep days. And I was like, not even fucking close. It's the complete opposite. But, yeah, that's it. So, you can be pro-black and I believe you can be pro-black and still be in an interracial relationship. Oh, I'm saying homegirl or homeboy better be woke. Your partner better be woke.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Before we jump to feature thought, I feel the need to talk about white kids who love Kendrick Lamar. I only bring this up because I was listening to a 10-part series on TikTok. And this dude was just, he sounded white to me, but this dude was breaking down how he was making a talk about delayed gratification. And he was explaining how the strategy Kendrick used against Drake. Drake went for instant gratification while Kendrick took his time and then whooped him. And I'm saying all this because it was an amazing presentation, 10-part series, and had me thinking about, one of the most few beautiful moments in my life was when the beef between Drake and Kendrick. But I found myself thinking about the same thoughts I had when I would see a white kid wearing a Public Enemy t-shirt I'm admitting that I think the part in my mind that has a definition of what white people are that part needs to be updated. Because I gotta stop being surprised at all those European kids who are enjoying Kendrick. Because I'm like, but all those pro-black, meaning all those lyrics about being pro-black, how the fuck do these white people, these white kids understand that shit? And Kendrick's not just that. He's like a, he's a writer. He's, and of course, they could appreciate that shit. They're, I think I'm just giving myself, it's my way of saying, let it go. Just accept it. There are white kids out there who appreciate Kendrick's music, and some of them can tell you shit about Kendrick that could teach you shit about Kendrick. There are white kids out there who are bigger stands about Kendrick than I am. There. I said it. All right? You're happy. All right? Okay. And anyone planning to give me shit about this, I want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. All right. We're going to take a quick break and get into some feature thought. I chip a nigga, then throw the blow in the in his lap. Then something. Then bitch, I did that. We're back. I'm gonna talk about a song by Kendrick Lamar that I've been addicted to ever since I've heard this.
Yesterday I got a call like from my dog like 101. Said they killed his only son because of insufficient funds. He was sobbing, he was mobbing, way belligerent and drunk. Talking out his head, philosophing on what the Lord had done. He said, K-Dot, can you pray for me? It's been a fucked up day for me. I know that you anointed. Show me how to overcome. He was looking for some closure, hoping I could bring him closer to the spiritual. My spirit do know better. But I told him, I can't sugarcoat the answer for you. This is how I feel. If somebody killed my son, that means somebody getting killed. Tell me what you do for love. Loyalty and passion up. All of memories collected, moments you can never touch. I'll wait in front of nigga spot and watch him hit his block. I'll catch a nigga leaving service if that's all I got. I'll chip a nigga, then throw the blower in his lap. Well, myself to the court, like, bitch, I did that. Ain't no black pie when your baby killed by a coward. I can't even keep the peace. Don't you fuck with one of ours. It be murder in the street. It be bodies in the hour. Get old Burby on the street. Paramedics on the dial. Let somebody touch my mama, touch my sister, touch my woman, touch my daddy, touch my niece, touch my nephew, touch my brother. You should chip a nigga, then throw the blower in his lap. Matter of fact, I'm about to speak at this convention. Call you back.
All right, kids, we're going to talk about gun control. All right, shout out to Lena B. I was amazed. So here's what happened. I heard her say that, and I was trying to convince myself that I'm going to recite that verse exactly like she did, or as well as she did, on my next podcast. And that was a lie. But I am going to say, ever since I heard, I came across her interpretation, is that what you call it? Her cover of this verse. The song has been on repeat on my end, in my mind, or on my phone. And this is the thing with Kendrick, right? Is there's a lot of songs that go over my head. And then it's just later when I focus on the lyric that I'm like, oh, this shit is genius. And in this particular situation, after hearing Lena B drop that, I found myself analyzing the song to death. And just enjoyed it, man. Look, I'm still determined to be able to recite that verse as well as she did. Right now, if I were to play it, like, I'm going to play this shit in a karaoke. That's my point. That's my goal, to be able to recite in a karaoke. But the thing with Kendrick's verse is when he raps, you got to get breath control in there. There's certain things, sometimes the way he forms words, and you gotta practice. That's what I'm trying to say. But that's not the only reason why, aside from the... Oh, okay. One more point is... this was gonna be a segment on the podcast. It was probably Thursday night or Wednesday... Thursday morning or Wednesday. One of those days during the week. It was hot. And lately, I find myself waking up in the middle of the night and trying to go back to sleep. But in this particular case, I woke up and I needed to go over this fucking song. I found myself waking up and the song was playing in my head. And I found myself picking up my phone and going on Rap Genius to go through the lyrics. It was calling me, man. That's what I'm trying to say. It was fucking call. Look, that's fucking art. The fucking song was calling me in the middle of the fucking night. What's that about? Yo, Kendrick put some voodoo in his music. Sorry, I'm laughing at the idea. You know what? I'm not going to mention this name. I am going to say the other reason why I'm sharing this I'm talking about this song is aside from my addiction, is I love the part of the song where his friend calls him and say, hey, his son was killed over insufficient funds. Anyways, his friend calls him to say, yo, I'm going through some bad time. I just lost my son. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but because you're anointed. Can you say a prayer for me? Can you say some shit that's going to bring me close, that's going to help me understand God's will in this shit? Can you say some wise shit? Because I'm about to lose my fucking mind. Can you say some spiritual shit to me? Kendrick is like, what? If that was me, I'm fucking killing. Yo, I'll kill that nigga at church if I have to. Touch my mama, touch my son. I love that flip to, nah, man. Be angry, be rage, because I would, fuck. He's like O-Dog. He reminds me of O-Dog in Menace to Society. I don't give a fuck. I ain't letting shit ride. All right, my point. Oh my God, I forgot I'm in the middle of my podcast. All right, the part I enjoyed about that part of the way Kendrick reacted to his friend trying to get some closure and shit, and he's like, nah, man, I would be just as angry. And the song also reminded me of every time I've grown up, every time in my past or where, well, let me preface this or start with, I'm a highly sensitive person. And sometimes part of being a highly sensitive person is regulating your emotion. And there's been many times where I made the mistake of articulating a feeling, especially if it was rage or sadness, and the person would listen to me and be like, that doesn't make sense. So the way Kendrick talks about, yo, you kill one of my relatives, I'll fuck you up. Yo, I can get heated just off the N-word. And I remember... Just off the N-word. I can get heated off. I'm small things. Small measured response. I think that's what it is, right? I think I've grown up getting used to, okay, before I respond with what I really want to say, I need to take a few deep breaths. I need to regulate emotion. At the time I didn't see it as regulate emotion. I just know that, okay. Whatever response you're thinking of expressing at the time, most of the people are not going to agree with you. You got caught off in traffic and you're like, pow, 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 pow. It's like, oh, well, sir, calm the fuck down. I had a joke about, what the fuck you looking at? I'm blind, sir. Oh, sorry. You know what I mean? Like it could be someone looking at me wrong. I'm not saying those feelings are justified. I'm saying it don't take much for me to go to feel, not act, but feel 0 to 100. And I enjoyed the part where the song goes, I feel like this is the connection to Tupac between Kendrick and Tupac. What's that like? I'm trying to remember, line by Pac, he goes, oh my God. Well, fuck with Tupac, and Pac goes the weed, and Pac goes the weasel. I goes, if somebody killed my son, then somebody, oh, there he goes. I can sugarcoat the answer for you. This is how I feel. If somebody killed my son, then that means somebody getting killed. You know how many times I've had, yo, somebody getting killed. They mess up my order at McDonald's. Somebody getting killed. You honk me while I'm driving, waiting at the red light. Somebody getting killed. Now, I'm not saying I act on it, but there's been many times where I've expressed rage. There's been time where I expressed that level of rage to someone, and I was, and people are just looking at me like I'm weird. And that's where I developed the habit of, you know what? Keep your feelings to yourself. Granted, it made me, is the word hermit? But they made me quiet because I didn't want to stand out. If I were to tell everyone every time that I felt pissed off, there'd be a lot of like, you're always pissed off. Emotional regulation. This is the part where I might need to write this down. There might be a part two to it, but it's like the if you get cheated on, it's as if the world understands that it's okay to lose control. If you, someone kills your kids, it's okay for you to lose control. We understand that you want, we live in a civilized society. We need you to come together, but we'll understand if you snap. I'm thinking about every time, yes, you know what? I've been exaggerating, but I do remember every time I've tried to explain how the N-word makes me feel to a white person. And there was never a time where they were like, oh, wow, no, I get it. It was always, well, I remember one person, he was like, yeah, it reminds me when I was bullied. And the end of the sentence or the end of their point was, but I kept it together. I didn't snap. Essentially, they were invalidating those feelings. So I, at this point, I'm less talking about the song. I'm less talking about the point Kendrick was making to his friend. I'm talking about that feeling of being like, yo, fuck that. What's the line? He goes, pray for me. He goes, brother, we'll close it. There's somebody getting killed. Tell me what you do for love, loyalty, and passion of all the memories collected, moments that you could never touch. I went in front of a nigga spot and watch him hit his block. I catch a nigga leaving service if that's all I got. Meaning, yeah, I went in front of the church. I mean, there's been many times the thought of, yes, I would like to do a drive-by. Bouncer won't let me in the party. Drive-by. All I'm saying is, it's a good thing I live in a country with tough gun control. That's all I'm saying. Because, you know, you have time to be like, ooh, oh my God, yeah, I think I'm turning a mountain, I'm turning a hill to a mountain. You know what I mean. I'm making a big thing out of nothing. Ain't no black power when your baby's killed by a coward. I can even keep the peace. Don't fuck with one of ours. There'll be murder in the street. Yeah. By the way, yeah, I'm grateful that I let Lena B recite that. But yeah, Lady B, in the off chance that you're listening to this episode, one day I'm going to duet that episode. I'm not going to duet. I think it'll probably come off wrong. But I am going to recite Good Enough for Karaoke. On that note, that's it for today's episode. Let's wrap this baby up. This concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't have done with Whitey, then fuck you too. You know how I curse a lot? I don't know if it's me not regulating emotions, but I just know that it just feels right. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.